Market insight and analysis. You're listening to the opening bell of CNBC's Squawk on the Street.
Good Thursday morning. Welcome to Squawk on the Street. I'm Carl Kington here with Jim Cramer, David Faber at Post Night of the New York Stock Exchange. Futures do tumble here, not just on Meta, IBM last night, but that disappointing macro as Q1 GDP comes in 1/6, lightest since 2022, with a warmer than expected core PCE. 10-year 4.7 is now the high of the year. Our roadmap begins with that growth surprise, GDP increasing less than expected in Q1. Stocks do look to open sharply lower.
Plus, Meta shares are set up for what could be the worst day the stock has seen in years. The company surprised investors with plans to spend even more aggressively on AI. Also, that second quarter guidance, perhaps not that exciting. And on top of that, we got a massive earnings day, of course, Comcast. Five Dow components also reported. We got Merck, Honeywell, Caterpillar, Dow, and IBM. One of the biggest laggards on the S&P, by the way, ahead of the open.
Let's begin with the market reaction to the weaker than expected GDP. Jim, 1.6, looking for 2.5. No, estimate was about 2.5. Goldman was at 3.1.
Right. This is one where people are obviously in the wrong way on both. Wrong on how slow it is and wrong on inflation. So the Fed needs some help. It can't just these were numbers where you could say, you know what, they can cut. But, David, you don't cut when you have this kind of inflation. So the core price index up 3.7, you're looking for 3.4. You don't have a. What are you smirking about? These are awful numbers.
I'm not smirking.
You're smirking.
No, I was just looking at you happily. Happy to see you. My gosh.
What am I, your kid? You bring me to work today? listen to me. GDP said, no, you know how I'm.
You know, the worry now is stagflation, right? It's like,
well, we're
I
was leading to that.
All right, well, I beat you to it.
Yeah, you did. But look, stagflation to people who aren't familiar with things means that there's nothing you can do. The Fed can't get inflation under control, so therefore it can't cut rates. Which therefore makes it so you get today.
So you get a weakening economy. Or is this just some sort of weird one-off? Or is it reflective of kind of these things you've been talking about?
I've been talking about
a little bit as well.
March is a crummy month.
When you hear, you know, restaurant receipts and various things like that, diesel prices, I don't know.
No, look, we got a frugal consumer. Thank you, Goldman, for upgrading TJX. We have industrials just doing okay. We got Caterpillar, and we don't have that revenue rave. I'm looking for. We have tech, where you have ServiceNow. They're going to be coming on soon. This stock is down very badly, and one of the reasons is because people say, well, wait a second, they didn't raise as much as they usually raise. Now, that's the kind of false positive. In other words, they're still raising. But what it amounts to, David, is just you're struggling on a day like today to say, okay, what do I do? I got this 10-year 4.7. I was told that if it didn't hold 4.6, then I should sell.
Trouble. And not to mention we haven't seen 5% in a little while in that 2-year.
Jeez,
hello.
I bought that 2-year, earlier this week. I'm already taking a beating. Mm-hmm. Imagine taking a beating on 2-year. Carl, I'm not giving up on it, but because today is a tough day. But look, we left here last night, and we could say we left here on Ford, and Ford's great. And Jonas is talking about how we have a part of Ford that is worth the price of Ford.
You want to go through the names that raised guidance?
Yes,
Merck, Ford, Royal Caribbean,
yes.
Chipotle, Waste Management, Align, LRCX,
yes.
SP Global.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. But then, okay.
And all that and a 5%+ 2-year will get you a down market.
No, Carl's right. I mean, we're sitting here and we can bemoan everything.
Look, a lot of the 1.6 number is net exports and inventories. You still got consumption running 2.5. We'll see. But it's not. The stagflation's a little extreme.
I agree. I'm just. Look, I wanted to give the conventional wisdom because people are going to say, well, wait a second. Why is the market down? And 4.6 versus 4.7 is not that big a deal. But what's happening is that let's say earnings beat, but sales weren't that good today. Well, we're only looking at the sales. So Waste Management, which I have on tonight, the sales slipped. OK, well, this stock has been a horse. I mean, even let's leave the elephant in the room. Okay, so what has Meta done this year? Meta's done nothing but go up. Stock was up 40% year-to-date, up 135% year-over-year, and we're going to complain about it today. Now, I think Waste Management is an absolutely terrific company. Again, I have them on tonight, and they're, I hate to say this, and Jim Fish, please don't take it, but they're run-of-the-mill good company.
And a good indicator of industrial activity.
Exactly. So we have ways to look at the economy other than the 4.6, 4.7 conundrum. But we also know that when you get a company like Meta lowering the boom and you get a company like ServiceNow not raising enough, then people start saying, OK, I've got the bonds going the wrong way. I've got the GDP going the wrong way. Maybe I have to trim. Now, I don't think that's wrong. That's what I said yesterday. I had this really very, I was apologizing to club members saying, look, I hate being this negative, but I don't have the horses. When you don't have the horses, you can't foment the horses.
To Jim's point about Meta and Zuckerberg last night, raising the CapEx guidance, rekindling fears of a new investment boom. Take a listen.
Significantly more over the coming years to build even more advanced models and the largest scale AI services in the world. As we're scaling CapEx and energy expenses for AI, we'll continue focusing on operating the rest of our company efficiently. But realistically, even with shifting many of our existing resources to focus on AI, we'll still grow our investment envelope meaningfully before we make much revenue from some of these new products.
Are you worried about there the opposite of a year of discipline?
Look,
it was a year of efficiency. It wasn't necessarily years.
No, all right. So when someone has something to invest in and it can give you a good return, then someone who is rational is going to give it. Now, what he does say, and there's really some great lines in the call, you know, historically investing to build these new scaled experiences, which is what he's doing, in our apps, has been a very good long-term investment for us and for investors who have stuck with us.
Yep.
Now, why doesn't he deserve the benefit of the doubt?
He does.
And I'm giving it to him.
He does deserve the benefit of the doubt, but you have to also take in mind that, you know, the next quarter where the guide was not as high as had been anticipated. By the way, they're going to start to lap those big comps that they saw as a result of Shein and Temu spending enormously on the platform. And so that makes the revenue guide a little less than perhaps had been anticipated. And then that $40 billion number, just to sort of just stop for a moment and think about that.
Well, because look,
if in fact they were to hit it, that's the very high end of that envelope. But $40 billion in CapEx, the number itself is just staggering.
As I quote him, smart investors see the product is scaling and that there's a clear monetizable opportunity there even before the revenue materializes. In other words, you don't have to wait until the numbers explode. You got to get in ahead of it. Witness how much the stock is up last year and this year.
Still up almost 20% for the year.
I'm defending him. I think you can actually buy the stock. Wait a couple days, because obviously these guys want to get out.
Listen,
and he's new cold water on the next quarter. He didn't tell you to buy it ahead of this quarter.
No, he didn't. And there are still plenty of people who have a $24 a share earnings number for 2025 and believe that it should trade at a 20 multiple, which would mean right back to 480 if you believe that. 18 gets you right around where we are right now. Right, so... that said, it's going to be a little while till we see these products.
Right.
And you say he gets the benefit of the doubt.
Yes.
He very well probably deserves that.
Yes.
But it also does raise some concerns, even though they have 30,000 fewer employees than they did in November
right.
of 22.
Well, obviously that's, but you know, you have a situation where hardware costs more. Now, what are the takeaways? Evercore, really good piece today. Winners. NVIDIA stock is going to be down today because it's part of a cohort called tech.
Yeah, meanwhile, all they just did is tell you how much money they're spending on these chips.
I know. It's costing a fortune. I got a great one for you.
Yeah.
Who's the second on the Evercore list?
I don't know. Who?
Broadcom. Who Broadcom. Joined the board in February?
Right.
Octane.
Yeah.
I like that.
That's an interesting,
don't you think?
Connection.
Now, he said something interesting on the clip. Energy costs. Now, speaking to GE Vernova, which is Scott Strazik, the amount of cost of energy, for the first time in years, is really going much, much higher. They're going to have to compromise. Every one of these companies are going to have to compromise to start using natural gas. They can't just rely on wind and solar.
But also, Jim, it's one thing when an Alphabet or a Microsoft or an Amazon, even their CapEx, particularly when it comes to the spending they're doing as hyperscalers in the data center.
Right.
Because that's just money they're putting in that they immediately charge customers who are using it
exactly.
for. This is different. This is new products that conceivably are going to be based, by the way, on the incredible amount of data that this company has that makes it unique in terms of the personal data it has. But everybody can come up with their own guess. Is it going to be an AI agent that helps you create content? Is it going to be your own personal agent?
It's going to be search. It's going to be dynamite search.
What is it going to be that ultimately they have?
And it's going to be exciting.
Somehow it's going to be merged with Reality Labs, where they've already spent, what have they spent overall, $40 billion on Reality Labs?
It's a questionable. So far. Listen, they got the Ray-Bans.
Yeah,
someone said this morning.
I saw that.
And new fashion
Ray-Bans
styles.
Was good. Ray-Bans is crushing.
New fashion styles are coming.
Don't laugh.
On the Ray-Bans.
But do you know how many companies would kill for some invention like Ray-Bans? How about, Carl, He comes up with this thing called Reels, okay? It's a competitor to TikTok. The president signs a ban on TikTok, and he's got Reels, and we think he's not worth trusting?
And for
all the
protestations yesterday by TikTok, information this morning saying they're beginning to game out some sale scenarios.
Yeah, well, I saw that.
Reels is going to just
potentially selling at least some portion of TikTok. Reality Lab spending, I did note another part of the call that I thought was interesting, where he's talking about how we report our financials as a family of apps, and then they also report Reality Labs, where they had an operating loss of, I think it was $3.8 billion in the quarter. As I said, maybe they spent as much as $40 billion on this thing. Remember, they changed the name of the company to Meta. Whoa. That said, he goes on to say, I think fundamentally they're the same thing with the vision of Reality Labs to build the next generation of computing platforms, in large part so that we can build the best apps and experiences. So over time, we're going to need to find better ways to articulate the value that's generated here across both segments, meaning maybe they stop breaking Reality Labs numbers out.
Yeah, I think they have to.
AI bleeds into Reality Labs or vice versa.
Remember, he bought 300,000 of just the humdrum NVIDIA chips.
What, H100s?
Yeah. I mean, what's he going to do when he gets the Blackwell? Although, of course, Amazon wants the Blackwell.
And it...
Now, of course, we say that all these companies are making their own chips. Yeah, well, they're making the low-end chips. You're still relying on NVIDIA. And I know that it's fashionable to sell NVIDIA these days, but when the smoke clears, and it hasn't yet, NVIDIA's the winner.
When we come back, we're going to see how many earnings we can get to in one block or two on this busy Thursday. Plus, the CEOs of ServiceNow and Southwest, shares of both company under pressure ahead of the open. We'll look at Merck, Bristol, IBM, Cat, Chipotle, Honeywell, Harley, and a bunch of others when we return.
ServiceNow, symbol N-O-W, are moving lower despite a first quarter earnings beat, although it's a little more complicated than that. Joining us now in our first on CNBC interview is ServiceNow Chairman CEO Bill McDermott. Bill, it's always great to see you. Subscription revenue guidance not as strong as I thought, despite the fact that you had a great first quarter. I'm trying to figure out whether the first quarter may be an aberration and that the next quarter is more important, or whether things are just fine.
Things are just fine, Jim. You know, we had a triple play. We beat on the top line, we beat on the bottom line, and we raised our full year guidance. And we can all debate that I increased the guide enough, but that seems to be a pretty high class problem because, ServiceNow has become the AI platform for business transformation. And we're proving that, the number one Gen AI use case in the world today is process optimization. So, Jim, in terms of things being fine, think about every business workflow and every enterprise around the world is going to be engineered with Gen AI at its core. And we are that single pane of glass that's going to drive that transformation.
OK, let's talk about that, because after listening to Mark Zuckerberg last night, he says that Gen AI costs a fortune and there's absolutely no return within a couple of years. Why is there a return instantly for Gen AI for ServiceNow? And a really smart guy like Mark Zuckerberg just basically, forget it. We're going to spend billions. You ain't going to get much from it.
Yeah, we're making a lot of money on it already because we have small language models that are domain specific, which means they don't take a lot of compute power. They're lightning fast because we're working with the customer's own data, and they're highly secure, again, because it's the customer's own data. And we also remain open to the ecosystem and all the models because they fully integrate with ServiceNow should the customer wish to go that way. And, that's the best of both worlds for the customer. Totally open, but at the same time, today, we're taking great companies like Microsoft and IBM. They're transforming their employee experience with digital-first support models, freeing up resources and fueling innovation with ServiceNow's Gen AI. Or Novartis, a great CEO, delivering new drugs while increasing operating efficiencies, and he's streamlining clinical trials, research, and financial management with Gen AI from ServiceNow. And we're billing for that right now. So the game is on at ServiceNow.
And I totally agree with that. I'm looking at the stock being down. I'm looking at people feeling a little jaded about Gen AI. And I'm wondering, if I worked at Novartis, how am I impacted by ServiceNow? What makes my life better? How am I more productive? How am I bringing more to the bottom line? I need to know this because this is a day where your stock is down and people are feeling very foolish about buying stocks that are making a lot of money off of so-called Gen AI. And I put the so-called in after listening to Mark Zuckerberg, who is a darn smart guy.
He sure is. And we admire him greatly. And he's got a great company. We just have a different approach to this. And, you know, the proof is in the pudding. I mean, our free cash flow was up 47% year over year. Total gross profit up 83% year over year. So we've proven that we can not only grow the top line, but also the bottom line. So here's what's happening, Jim. Let's take employees and customers. Think about Gen AI deflection rates. They've doubled in all of our installs, and they're improving every month. So the soul-crushing work that people don't want to do, they don't have to do anymore with ServiceNow. Think about software engineers, 48% increase in the speed to innovation with natural language text turning to code. Think about security and risk, Gen AI, remediating vulnerabilities and improving the security posture for companies. And I can go on and on. These are use cases that we're doing right now. So the CEOs that are out there, they want a flag in the ground on Gen AI. Microsoft has done a great job with their solution, and they're giving a co-pilot, and we're teaming up with Microsoft with our Now Assist AI co-pilot. So just think about a CEO listening to the show right now. You want to team up with Microsoft, you want to team up with ServiceNow, total engineering integration, total teamwork. Let's go.
All right, so you said software engineers doing better. When I listen to Jensen Huang, he's saying we don't need software engineers like we used to. Are you able to eliminate software engineers because you're talking natural language? Why can't I just talk to the machine? Why do I need these code writers?
It's a great question. And we still need our engineers, Jim, because we're going to be the defining enterprise software company of the 21st century. So we've already improved their productivity by nearly 50%. So you could say, do I need half the engineers? No. At ServiceNow, we say we need all the engineers, and we're going to keep hiring them because we intend to define the enterprise software market in this century and give customers an entirely new experience, and we want our people fired up, innovating at clock speed.
Okay, I totally understand that. And what I'm trying to do, again, is deal with the research, which talks about how they did expect a bigger guide, and what you're saying, which would indicate that you could have blown the doors off. And I'm wondering whether maybe we, when we go to the your big meeting that is upcoming, your financial day, maybe we'll hear that perhaps what disappointed these skeptics, these analyst skeptics, they may regret that they were skeptical about the billings when they hear what you do at your conference.
Hey, Jim, let's face it, right? 5 years of this, the execution has been stunning. All the research reports that are going out today say near perfect execution. I'll take that. We know how to win the game. We know how to execute. And when they see what we have in Gen AI solutions, the speakers that are coming to endorse that, the logos that are already using that, and the many more that are signing up, they'll see that while it's a small percent of today's revenue, I mean, we're a $10 billion run rate cloud company, they'll see that a half a trillion by 2027 will be spent on Gen AI. And if you think that the number one use case is process optimization in the enterprise, you got a pretty bright future in front of you with ServiceNow, and we always beat our forecast. So that's the ball game. We're going to win it, and we're excited.
I think people will know that at the May 6th meeting in Las Vegas, the Financial Analyst Day. And I think the problem is a lot of people don't understand process optimization, but all I know is we want it to be cheaper than it is right now. That's Bill McDermott. The stock is down. It has been down when they first quarter because he tends not to take up the numbers big because Bill McDermott likes to beat the numbers, and he sure did today. Bill McDermott, ServiceNow, thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Jim.
Absolutely.
When we come back, Cramer's Mad Dash countdown to the opening bell. The open does look to be a little spicy as that 10-year zeroing in on 4.75. Don't go away. Futures decidedly red here amid this earnings blizzard. Weaker than expected GDP, 10-year now close to 4.75. We're going to get the opening bell in 5 minutes.
All right, let's get to a mad dash. We talked about earnings from so many companies. One of them is IBM. The stock, Jim, is looking down rather sharply in the early going here. Why?
Well, there was a step back in consulting. All the analysts said that. Consulting not being that strong had been a business that had been strong. I think a lot of people were hoping that, look, they built this HashiCorp to go with their cloud business. That seemed to be very complimentary.
They did a deal, yesterday.
But at the same time, you have, like, Tony Saganetti asked, right, I love his questions because they're always incredibly trenchant questions. He says some cracks in the holding, but an outsized market reaction. And I think you do down 20 is an outsized market reaction. It's not that bad. It's just that, well, you take something like Red Hat that used to grow in the, you know, pretty good double digits. Yeah, it's growing, you know, high single digit. You take a look at what they've done in terms of the rationalization, selling Kindred, you know, offloading Kindred and making the thing grow faster. And a lot of people are just kind of saying, all right, well, that's about it. That's all there is to it. I think that's too critical. I like their cloud business. They're fine. They shouldn't be down 20. Make, take it down 10. The business, book of business was squishy.
Free cash flow generation?
It's okay. It's not, it was better than I thought. Now, here's what I don't like that the analysts like. I'm a little bit of a critical moment here for AI. People like the fact that their AI business exceeded $1 billion. So all the analysts like it. No, I don't. Because, you know, that's not good enough. They're all happy with $1 billion AI. I keep coming back to what I heard last night on Meta, which is don't get all that excited about short-term gains, Gen AI. Now, Bill is talking about process, making process cheaper. I get that. But, you know, David, how should process be cheaper?
Let's get the opening bell and the real-time exchange of the big board. It is Rubrik, the Microsoft-backed cybersecurity company celebrating its IPO. We're going to talk to co-founder, chairman, and CEO Bipul Sinha in the next hour. Pricing above the range. At the Nasdaq, Marex, a global financial services platform. Jim, it's a rare day where we got earnings, macro, M&A times two, and an IPO.
Yeah, now what you want to ask about is Rubrik, is they lost $354 million and $628 million in revenues, which is, I think, suboptimal. However, it is loved by the best cybersecurity people I can talk to. So there's no flies on the roof. So I like that. But, you know, obviously we like deals that are a little more, make more money. We don't want companies that are losing a lot of money, but this thing, it'll trade well. People are excited about it.
But your appetite's not whetted.
Well, look, I like CrowdStrike and I like Palo Alto. But CrowdStrike likes Rubrik. I mean, there's no doubt about it, it's a good company. At the same time, we are stuck with a tape today that is not all negative. I mean, look, the Merck you mentioned, Rob Davis, absolutely terrific. I mean, just great. But then you can go, and then you have a Bristol Myers. You have one and then another, and you're in a situation where, because of what happened with Meta, people are saying, wait a second. Like, I'm more critical, because when you hear someone really smart like Zuckerberg say, we're going to have to spend a lot of money, and it'll pay off eventually. Now, remember, Bill McDermott is saying, look, we're our customers are doing well, so we're going to get paid. In this particular case, Zuckerberg is both the customer and the guy who's building, and he's not going to get paid instantly, and that is casting a pull on things. Now, I have to tell you, now, Caterpillar, Jim Umpleby has done a fantastic job, and the stock is up from 208 when he talked last time, and now the stock is, you know, it's down 25. That's nothing. That's nothing. And Caterpillar had good numbers, but in a market where the stock's up 208, from 208 to here, profits. When you have Meta up more than 100%, profits. So there are situations where you have a lot of profits to be had, and people are taking it.
Caterpillar with a slight revenue miss.
Miss, no doubt about it. Inventories were fine. But if you take a look at IBM, David was mentioning, IBM's been doing pretty well. So
it had a good year. I mean, right, last 12 months, up over 40%.
So people are taking some profits.
Right.
And I don't know, that's what when I at my club, I said, geez, I hate to say it, but I got six stocks I think are going to do well short term. And, well, yeah, there's just not enough good today to make up for things. But I look at a stock. I'll give you an example. Honeywell. Okay, Honeywell at one point today was at 200. It was up $5. It's now up 50 cents.
I was going to say, of the Dow earnings we've got, Honeywell, Dow, and Merck are all in the green.
Yeah, I mean, I spoke to Jim Fitterling this morning. For Dow, it was a good quarter. There's a lot of things going their way. They have very inexpensive U.S. costs versus everywhere else in the world. It's up 60 cents now. I mean, it's down now. I mean, it was a good quarter. It yields 4.9%. There's a lot of companies that did good quarters when you wanted great quarters. And then there are a lot of companies that did fantastic quarters and gave you not as good forecasts, Bill McDermott. But Bill at ServiceNow would argue, are you kidding me? Come on. I'm a conservative guy. I'm doing really well. I keep coming back to Meta is in control. Meta and the bonds. And Meta's, look, you know, when a guy says, trust me, Well, David, you know, I'm from the government. Trust me.
Yeah,
but I do
although
trust
the men. Guy is Mark Zuckerberg.
Right.
And, you know, he may be dressing nicely, but he's still a cold-blooded killer. And I say that in the nicest way.
Well, that's an odd way to
put it.
Address it. Like, the killers is a good group.
Well, you know
what I would
mean.
Buy him out of here.
I mean, he is singularly focused, has been
I think
since
great.
The dorm room at Harvard, and the man
great.
Can execute.
Yeah.
And so, to your point, doesn't he get the benefit of the doubt? Well, he very, very well may. That said, when people do the math, especially on the second quarter guidance, which again, as we pointed out, right. you know, a year ago is when the Chinese e-commerce companies started to spend enormously on the platform, you start right. lapping that. Your revenue numbers are not going to be up as much. Although, what do you pay for this thing? I mean, really, you can only pay if they're going to do, you know.
I like it. I mean, he's going to come out. It's going to figure out how to monetize it faster than he says. That's terrific. Now, do you think that there's a read-through Microsoft? Do you think it's read-through Amazon because of Temu and Shein? How about that?
Well, no. It's not like their spending is still going on. It's
yes.
just that it ramped up like a year ago.
Right.
And so your comparisons for these companies may not be as significant as they were because you're coming off the quarters where they already were spending a lot
right.
On the platform.
Those
Chinese e-commerce companies represented a lot of what was
fortune.
Going on.
I know, they spent a fortune. They did Amazon, too. And remember, Amazon,
on Instagram,
if you buy
right.
some of their stuff on Amazon, which, by the way, their stuff is about... there's no accounting for taste, but I don't regard their stuff as being that great. But Amazon gives you a date.
Yeah.
And these guys don't give you a date. Temu is like, hey, it might come, like not. I mean, you buy something on Amazon, and Alexa tells you it's there at your door in about 35 seconds. It's a little scary. Okay? I don't mind Amazon here.
Parent company reported earnings, guys, as you well know. It's the only time Jim doesn't say anything.
Oh, yes. He got
him.
Quiet.
Look at him. Can we get a shot of Jim?
Although there are some firms coming to Comcast's defense this morning, talking about broadband ARPU up 4.
Yes,
yeah,
broadband ARPU.
Good.
By the way, the financials themselves seemingly met many of the estimates of the analysts who follow the company.
Right.
Even that loss of 65,000 total broadband customers was more or less where many analysts had been. First quarter revenue, which was up 1.2% year over year, was a bit better than the consensus. The EBITDA numbers, perhaps,
right.
depending on which analysts you talk to or follow, was more or less in line or a bit below.
1.49 versus 1.6.
There's kind of a quick read, right? Wireless keeps growing. Peacock, yeah.
Are you going to domestic video? Are you like doing this
growing,
domestic video?
But
thing?
You're losing. You're losing broadband customers. You're a broadband company. And then
no, you're not.
Video
you're a technology
customers.
Company. And that's the problem. Do you mind if I do a little narrative work for a second?
Well, let me come to the reason why the stock is actually down, which is really off the call.
You're going to do domestic video. Just do domestic video.
It's not domestic video.
Domestic broadband
is for the entire industry, right?
Right.
You're still losing 487,000 subs.
Okay.
That's not great. Now, that's a year ago it was 600,000, but last quarter it was in the threes. So that's accelerated quarter to quarter in terms of video sub losses. That's the entire ecosystem we talk about so often. That's cord cutting. That's not that important a business for Comcast, frankly. It's about broadband, and that's why on the call, when the CFO said this, the stock went down. Take a listen.
It continues to be a very competitive environment, and we lost 65,000 subscribers in the first quarter, following the loss of 34,000 subscribers in the fourth quarter of 2023. As we sit here right now, we do not see this trend improving in the near term. We expect churn could be elevated given the end of ACP, which is only fully funded through April and partially funded through May.
The Affordable Connectivity Program,
yeah.
a government program to get people broadband in areas and help them pay for it, will expire. We talked about that being an issue, but that's why the stock, it was more or less flat on these numbers. Even though they're not great numbers, they were in line,
right.
if not better than some had anticipated, but then that, and that took it down.
Right, well, man, look, you come out hot, and you look at a broader number, and the stock's up $1.50 when it reports, okay? And then people look under the hood, and they don't like it. I want to point out some things. I just want to, and you tell me what they mean, okay? So Peacock does a 1.05 billion, people are looking for 1.02. Matter?
No.
No matter. Okay.
No, Peacock
okay,
has got, there's got to be some scale. It's not sustainable.
Okay.
I may no longer be at the company after I said this now, but that's more or less
narrowing losses and subs up 55.
Thank you. Yeah. Experiences, 10.3 versus 10.2. Experiences.
Experiences are great. It's all about theme parks. Awesome.
Okay.
Love them.
All right. Broadband revenue, 32.1 versus 32.3.
What was that?
Broadband revenue.
That revenue is fine.
Okay.
ARPU was up.
Okay. How about being the first studio to finish number one at the box office and win Best Picture
there
this century?
Go. Oppenheimer was amazing.
Yes. You sound like Edward G. Robinson, frankly. Hey, it's Soylent Green. Now listen to me. This is not that. $1.04 versus $9.9. How about that?
That was fine.
Jim, among the winners today, I know you liked Chipotle. Comps up 7, looking
God.
For 5. Stock got to 3K ahead of this 50-for-1.
Yep, and they're going to split it not till June, unfortunately. Now, the most important thing there, and I'm glad you brought that up because otherwise people are going to hang themselves, is that they raised the prices for California gigantically. No diminution. None. That's incredible. That's a product's love.
There's a piece on the tape right now. They're telling employees not to serve chicken in their own meals because of the demand for this reintroduced chicken dish.
Well, we celebrated by having the Chicken Outpost store yesterday in our office because we said, hey, you know what, this is going to be a fantastic number, and it was. They are, if you want to have pure joy, business school, not speak, they talk about throughput, and they have this Boston store that had like throughput that was just unbelievable. This is an amazing company. It is a lesson. People should read the conference call rather than just pay attention to all the negatives. I want to accentuate the positive right here.
Our Phil LeBeau covered American earlier this morning. Then there's Southwest moving lower on their results. Phil is at Southwest HQ in Dallas with a special guest. Hey, Phil.
Hey, Carl, looking out on Love Field. Bob Jordan, thank you for joining us.
You're welcome.
Let's be honest. You miss on the top and the bottom line. Ugly first quarter, and people are looking at your guidance and the cut in capacity. Investors are saying to themselves, when does Southwest start to grow again? Because I feel like the ground continues to shift under us.
Well, we had a strong first quarter, despite the financial results. We had record operating revenues. We had record passengers, record Rapid Reward member adds. But we have a number of markets in the across our network that are just not performing. So we're taking action. We're further optimizing the network. We never like to close cities. We're closing 4 cities. We are cutting capacity in Atlanta and Chicago O'Hare, and we're restructuring other cities and taking other actions. And we're committed to doing this until we hit our financial returns.
Let's talk about the MAX planes. You started this year expecting to receive 80 MAX planes. You keep having to cut it down lower and lower. New guidance is what? You're expecting 20? How much is this hurting your ability to plan?
You know, we, just starting with Boeing at the very top, we support Boeing taking the time to fix their issues, become a better company, because that is good for Southwest Airlines and the country long term. But there's no doubt this is a significant issue. Replanning, adjusting schedules for our customers, and yeah, we're significantly down from our originally planned deliveries. But that's not going to be an excuse. We need to hit our financial targets, and we'll take action. We're adjusting our network. We are tuning our revenue management system. We are taking marketing actions. And we're looking at new initiatives, things like the way we seat and the way we board our aircraft.
Let's talk about that. For the longest time, this has been an airline where you buy a seat or a ticket, you pick the seat, generally speaking. Is there a possibility we may see a business class or some type of a bifurcation within the cabin?
Well, there's nothing to report today except the fact that we are studying this. We always want to know what our customers expect and their preferences. So we are studying our seating and our cabin right now. And again, there's nothing to report today, but customer preferences do change over time. And customers love our current product. I love our current product, but it was designed at a time when load factors were significantly lower than they are today. So we're working hard to understand what our customers want. We've changed before. We've added things like Wi-Fi, power, larger overhead bins. And, you know, it's very early, but the results are interesting, and we're continuing to study this, and more to come later.
That's a tease. Jim, I know you've got a couple of questions for Bob.
Hello, Jim.
When you're starting to end operations, I wonder how much of these ending operations are for good and how much of it is because of Boeing. George Bush's International Airport, Bellingham International Airport in Washington, Syracuse, Hancock International Airport in New York, Mexico's Cozumel International Airport. How many of these are the fault of Boeing? How many of these are just saying, you know what, this is just not, we're not making enough money here?
Well, We have got to hit our financial returns, period, and get back to where we are covering our cost of capital as a first step. So the network actions have really nothing to do with the Boeing delay. We're taking network actions regardless. Now, the Boeing delays are very painful. They cause us to replan. They hurt us on the revenue front. They cause us to be inefficient. And we're working all of that. But no, the network actions will continue along with the rest of our comprehensive action plan.
Well, you know, Bob, I guess I'm spoiled here. I listen to Phil LeBeau closely, and Phil interviews everybody in the industry. American number looked bad, and then boom, the number's better than I thought. Delta better than I thought. United better than I thought. I don't want to see you down there with JetBlue in the scrub.
Well, the demand for our product is very strong, Jim. I mean, we had record revenues here in the first quarter, record passengers, and our sequential, and while we were off our plan, our sequential revenue performance from the fourth quarter actually was higher than historic norms, and our guide would imply that our second quarter will beat sequentially the norm from the first quarter. But I'm not underplaying the fact at all that we have a gap to our financial targets, and we will be absolutely relentless in pursuing those. We have work to do, and a lot of that is around the underperforming part of the network. We've taken action before in the first quarter. That has been very helpful, and it's on plan, and we're taking further actions here in the second quarter, and we will take more actions with the network as we need to, along with all the other parts of our action plan that I described.
Bob, are the underperforming areas, are they specific markets? Have you been able to identify why specific markets are underperforming? Or do you look at it and say, there's a weakness underneath, generally speaking, in terms of demand?
Well, you know, Phil, the other big thing that's changed, obviously, is costs are much higher. Labor costs, especially, have come up a lot. And it typically takes, you know, the revenue performance a while to catch that. But no, we can easily identify areas, particularly in our development markets. And we added a lot of capacity last year as we restored our network and got all of our aircraft flying. So we have a lot of capacity that is in development today. So no, we can see the areas of underperformance, and that is what we are attacking.
And you've done a lot of hiring, especially as you planned on having a number of planes being flown, pilots. Have you put a pause on that?
We did, yeah. We were aiming at, in a lot of cases, you aim a year out, particularly with pilots. So we were aiming at where we thought our aircraft and our fleet plan would be a year from now. Obviously, that's changed. We have stopped and frozen nearly all hiring. We have voluntary programs underway, and we expect to end 2024 2,000 heads below 2023, and we'll be down again in 2025. And through our voluntary time off programs right now, we're already seeing nearly 1,000 employees take those programs.
Changes in the air. Bob Bill, Jordan.
Thank you, and happy birthday, my friend.
Thank you. I've heard it from a number of people today. Guys, I'll send it back to you.
You stole my thunder, Phil. I was about to wish you happy birthday, too. Great work today. It's our Phil LeBeau. Jim, reaction to some of the airlines here today between American and Southwest?
I hate being tough on Bob because they're obviously, I mean, if you don't have enough new planes where you want them. He did not blame Boeing. He didn't. I mean, I tried to get him to say.
And there's no more pure Boeing story than Southwest.
Right. And look, I think that he's dealing with the hand that he got, and within that confine. I mean, look, when I buy the stock here, I mean, I think he was saying, listen, we're going to work the kinks out. It's still Southwest. I didn't mean to be as, you know, look, it's just that everybody else is doing so well in this industry. I mean, when you sit and you listen to Delta, and you say, well, I got to buy Delta, and you listen to United, you say, oh, man, I got to get United, and then you listen to Southwest and say, not yet.
We didn't even mention RCL today, and the quarter there raised guidance.
They're doing it. Well, that's experiential, and that's a real bargain. I think people feel like when you get on a plane, it's not a bargain. Get on it. You know, David, I don't know when the last time you took a cruise, but they are cheap as
a cruise? How's never good for you?
You know, David.
What?
You know when I had my cruise booked? February 22nd of 2020.
I remember.
Yeah, I was going to be his next to Katie Carter.
Nice.
Not bad.
Have you taken one since then, in the last 4 years?
No, my daughter was on one of those electronic music cruises.
Oh, EDM?
Yeah, she's an EDM cruise.
I like that.
4-day EDM cruise.
I love that.
Vikings come to public.
Sold to you. I like Viking Therapeutics.
As we go to break, Dow's down 570. About a third of that is going to be Caterpillar.
Right.
Keep that in mind, but all sectors are red except for consumer staples. As for bonds, we mentioned the Q1 PCE price index running warm, claims at 207, lowest since February, and then we still got to get through this seven-year note auction at 1 o'clock. Uh-huh. Stay with us. A lot of kids getting treated to some interesting market activity. Dow down 600. It is Take Your Children to Work Day. Look at that. Aren't we lucky to get some kids in Englewood Cliffs?
Oh, some good news.
They look good, too. When they were that age.
They were so excited. I was miserable.
Along with the Minion.
I was in the track from the fourth track during that game.
Have fun today, kids. We're back in a moment. Let's get to Jim and Stuff Trading.
We have a winner, just Carrier. And I've got to tell you, this was an amazing quarter. Carrier made this great acquisitions in Europe that brings in the heat pump business. They got rid of some things that will be able to make it so they have a great balance sheet. And Dave Gitlin, Dave Faber, is a remarkable executive. And I probably people are wondering, will he take, will he be interested in the Boeing job?
And he says on the call, Jim, let me be clear, and this is David Gitlin who runs Carrier, I have notified the Carrier and Boeing boards that I am 100% committed to Carrier and not interested in serving as CEO of Boeing.
Well, you know what? Sometimes you get this diamond.
He's on the board, by the way.
Look, think about this. You got Judy Marks of Otis, and you have Dave Gitlin at Carrier. Carl, these are clinics. These are people who know how to run a business. Otis is doing incredibly well, including in China. And Dave Gitlin doing remarkably well in Carrier. People, initially when they did that acquisition, they hit the stock. They're proven wrong. And my congratulations to Dave, who was also, by the way, one of the nicest people in the world. Nice guys finished first.
Very nice. Jim, we got Microsoft down 4.5. Yes. Google down 4, ahead of tonight.
Well, good. At least they're seasoned. You know, it's kind of like my father had those 9 hot land. He said, hey, Jimmy, they seasoned the beach with a lot of, and then you got there and everyone's shooting them anyway.
So you got WM tonight?
Yeah, and WM. Look, I mean, Jim Fish is doing fabulous. And I'm just saying, because I won tickets to that great golf game that he does in Phoenix. Oh, the stock is, it's crazy that the stock is down. I got Tractor Supply that's after the close, and then AGCO, I always like to make measure on food, and Eric Hanciotta is fantastic, and AGCO is down. So Carrier's up, David killed Comcast, and that's all I have to say. Oh, HashiCorp's up.
There you go.
Kills.
You're gonna stay on this?
He shot a peacock today.
Ah. It is a tough tape, though. NASDAQ now a 2% decline, and the Dow down 640.
You've been listening to the opening hour of CNBC's Squawk on the Street.
All opinions expressed by the Squawk on the Street participants are solely their opinions and do not reflect the opinions of CNBC, NBC Universal, or their parent company or affiliates, and may have been previously disseminated by them on television, radio, internet, or another medium. You should not treat any opinion expressed on this podcast as a specific inducement to make a particular investment or follow a particular strategy, but only as an expression of an opinion. Such opinions are based upon information Squawk on the Street participants consider reliable, but neither CNBC nor its affiliates and/or subsidiaries warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such. To view the full Squawk on the Street disclaimer, please visit cnbc.com/Squawk on the Street disclaimer.